You are listening to KBOO KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Next up is Calculated Conversation.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is also available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Board meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month, starting at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Good in the Hood the weekend of June 21st through 23rd at King School Park in Portland. Good in the Hood is a multicultural music, art, and food festival celebrating diversity and connecting people with resources and experience to strengthen the unity in the community.
The Good in the Hood parade will take place Saturday starting at North Williams and North Russell Street at 11 a.m. and KBOO will be broadcasting the festival live on Saturday starting at 2 p.m. and Sunday starting at noon. Again, that's Good in the Hood Friday, June 21st from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday, June 22nd from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday, June 23rd from noon to 10 p.m. at King School Park in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon, bridging the gap between prisons, prisoners, and the community. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
And now I'm living in correctional facilities. Cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary. But my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it get funky. When you got a subject and a predicate, add it on a dope beat, and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what? I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English. Even if Yella makes it a cappella, I still express yo, I don't smoke weed or sex. Cause it's known to give a brother brain damage, and brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker in you equal. Don't be another sequel. Spread yourself. Yourself, my boy, and show you how your track.
What up?
Drop English right about now. Getting back to the PG, that's program, and it's easy. Dre is back, new jacks are made hollow. Expressing ain't the subject because they like to follow the words, the style, the trend. The records I spin again and again and again. Yo, you're on the other end. Watch your brother blend dope rhymes with no help. There's no fessing or guessing while I'm expressing myself. It's crazy to see people be what society wants them to be, but not me. Ruthless is the way to go, they know. Others say rhymes which fail to be original, or they kill where the hip-hop starts. Forget about the ghetto and rap for the pop charts. Though some musicians, cause at home, they're scared to use profanity when up on the microphone.
What's happening, what's happening? It's Calculated Conversation, back for another Tuesday. It's nice outside. I'm your co-host, D. Jeff.
And I'm Ken Jones.
Yeah. Ken Jones, David Jefferson, your host. For the last, 14, 15 months? We've taken it to two.
Oh, yeah, we got 15 months.
I think so, right?
Yeah, yep.
Because it was March, right?
Yeah, we right in there.
Dang, that's crazy. 15 months coming in this room, you know, attacking these topics, you know, really diving into a lot of these subjects. Had some wonderful guests on the show. We definitely got some nice and well-informed and professional guests coming up here in the next couple of months. We're gonna get back into that, mm-hmm. you know, and make sure we throw the seasoning salt back on the show and, you know, just make sure that we get some, you know, some actual professionals in here to really, really talk about their industry so that we understand
right.
Clearly. And so we definitely working on getting the mental health specialist in here. We've been in conversation, so he's ready to come on in and talk about it.
Okay.
He's pretty deep too, pretty deep brother. So that's gonna be nice.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, it's Tuesday, it's Taco Tuesday. You know, it's Calculated Conversation Tuesday. Super, super nice.
Hey, yeah, that's what I was. It's the perfect balance. I know we talk weather a lot, but this is the perfect balance today. No complaints. So it's nothing bad to say.
Right. I feel like we usually start complaining.
Right. It go left, but yeah, not
too cold, too
perfect
hot.
Balance in that thing.
Yeah, we're gonna be sweating though, man, probably in August, you know. I mean July actually.
Yeah, it's gonna run it up.
Right.
We gotta get the little tabletop fan.
No, what we're gonna do is we're gonna bring you the show live from the beach.
Crashing waves.
It was working for us. But we happy to be back. Definitely one of our favorite places to come and dialogue and, you know, connect with the community, you know, on important issues. And, you know, please feel free to call in or, you know, just chime in on what we're doing, what we're talking about, or, you know, things that you think affect the community that we may or may not have covered. We have 503-231-8187. Don't forget. Also, as far as social media goes, keep in mind on Facebook, we at Calculated Conversation Radio Show. Twitter at Calculated Talk. IG at Calculated Conversation. You can Gmail us at CalculatedConversation@gmail.com or the website's www.calculatedconversation.com.
Also,
iTunes and Apple or Play Store,
mm-hmm.
both at Calculated Conversation. So you can hear us.
It's in your podcast mix.
In the comfort of your own home and convenience at the gym. If you're trying to ignore your partner, you want to put our show on and listen to us instead. That'll work. No.
I want to take a second to shout out Morg. Birthday is today. Morgan Jones.
Not Morgan Jones.
Sister from another mister and missus.
Right.
Either she's like 40-something or 20-something. Somewhere in the middle
or
of there.
Somewhere in between.
Somewhere in that range.
Either way, her looks haven't changed.
Yeah, right. It's like 0%. And then also, I want to make sure to give a second to shout out. We got the Woken Waffles organization that I'm part of. We got their Shades event. The second part of a three-part series that covers colorism, classism, and culture. And we're on the second part of the series this Saturday from 4 to 7 at the Swift Agency. You can still get reservations and tickets at Eventbrite. So if you go to Eventbrite and look up Woken Waffles, you'll be able to find that. It's definitely a great event. Come to the table with a mix of people to sit and discuss some of these topics we don't really get to talk about at the table with people.
4 to 7, huh?
4 to 7.
Okay, this one I can't miss.
Yes.
Can't miss this one.
Y'all make sure to come through. Look, Swift Agency is on Northwest 17th. Nice little venue.
Northwest Portland, kind of downtown area?
Yeah, that should be nice. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I just want to make sure to get that out there in the airways.
Right. And we also want to make sure that if you are employed, make sure you do what you love.
Hey.
I just ran into a quick story. I was in Platt Pantry down the street right there off of, Burnside, I wanted to say, in Grand.
Okay, yeah.
Boy, the cashier there, oh, he had a horrible attitude.
Ooh.
He didn't like nobody.
Nothing.
Like, he was kicking people out of the store just for, you know, asking to buy stuff. And he was saying, like, And another couple went through, tried to buy something. He was like, nah, I can't sell you that. It's a health hazard.
What?
Like, and he was just, he's like, you don't like it? Just get out. You don't like it? Get out.
Oh.
Like, he kicked one dude out, and then, like, then the couple in front of me, he talked bad to them, and then, you know, me, I had to try him.
Right.
I was like, hey, man, do you own this store? He was like, he didn't respond. And he was like, thank you very much. I bought some water. He just said, thank you. He kept it all business.
Okay.
And I was like, you know what, man? I said, you in the wrong industry. You know that? Ooh. I said, you're in the wrong industry.
You should be a bill collector.
Right, for doing what you do. You know.
It's always interesting coming across people with that where it's like.
He was like, I don't care, you know.
Doing the regular part.
And like, if you don't care, then you probably shouldn't be a cashier at Platt Pantry, you know. You should go where you care. But I didn't really want to get too deep because he was already committed to being dysfunctional,
right?
You know, so he may have health. I don't know if he got issues or what, but I mean, I don't know. I guess I just took it to say, like, you know, I just think it's important. I mean, that just kind of shows when you, you know, are part of a career or a job that you don't love, and you know, at times you got to do what you got to do to get where you're going and pay the bills. But I just think we definitely got to keep in mind, you know, for a long, you know, just, you know, for long term energy management purposes, you know, and you know, positivity, you know, we definitely got to try to get to careers and that we actually enjoy, you know, and those are kind of what, because he just ruined a lot of people's day in there. You know, I seen one dude get mad, like, dude, what'd I do?
Right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
And then the other couple was like, why are you being so rude to us?
Right.
He was like, you know, like, he actually ruined a couple of people's day. And I understand, he didn't ruin my day at all because I understand that he's going through something.
Right.
They took it personal, you know, and I just felt bad for him. So I had to ask him, like, do you own this store or something? Like, the way you acting up here? You
even
know,
then,
and you know,
even worse.
And he was like, you know, you don't like it, you know, like he just had a horrible attitude. Like, man, you're in the wrong place for that, you know, like, don't be in customer service and not like customers.
That's
you know
that,
what I'm saying?
That part right there.
Like, get a different job, you know, do something else for money, you know, like throw paper where you ain't got to talk to nobody, you know, leave some milk in front of somebody's door once every morning. They still do that.
Right. I was wondering, right, as soon as you said that, I was trying to picture where would that still be viable,
you know. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's customer service, you know, right. And again, you know, customer is, you know, those are real life people coming to, you know, patronize the business that you represent,
right.
You know, it's like they're actually coming to make whoever owns this place a little bit better, a little bit more financially secure.
Right.
And then you treat them like that, you know, and you don't, it's not your store, so you don't really care about the effect that it has on people, man. I just seen the way he did those people, and it just kind of like, it just made me feel a little bit, you know, bad for him, I guess, you know, for lack of better words, you know. And he don't realize that he just ruined a couple people's days, you know, kicked the dude out of the store for literally no reason at all, just for saying, why you being like that, man? Just get out, you know, get out.
You know, the roles where you're interfacing with customers, you know, we know people can be trash sometimes, and, you know, customers just have crazy attitudes. But I definitely think when you're in that field of dealing with customer service and you are interfacing with customers and clients, that, you know, there's an extra layer that you kind of got to put on. I know we all go through stuff and get hit, but that clock in is supposed to be that, you know, the face that gets put on to kind of get through. And not saying you got to, you know, jump up and do a song and dance for everybody coming through, but, you know, whatever you might be dealing with in that moment, that can't be projecting out on just people doing what they're supposed to do.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's a convenience store. People are conveniently showing up and spending their money, and that's what's supposed to be happening, and to kind of be shooting people down. Because think about that, you know, the long-term effects of that. How many are those people going to come back to the store? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, if that's,
probably
they're passing on their way, they're going to go up to the next little spot. They're going to head up to 7-Eleven or something. Like, what's the point of coming here?
Yeah.
Just for the possibility of rerunning into that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a slippery slope, you know. I mean, even as a businessman myself, I mean, it's hard to, you know, I mean, customers sometimes they do test your patience and, you know, you know, just kind of test your energy often. Mm-hmm. It happens, but, you know, on another note, I mean, you kind of signed up to be some sort of a community servant, I guess, for lack of better words.
You can shut that down when it's, you know, a customer being, but you off the rip, I'm sure you ain't pulling up places with crazy attitudes like, what are you?
No. I'm the opposite, man. I go extra when I'm dealing with customers, you know, as long as I know we handling business and they genuinely interested, you know, and not just, you know, I mean, sometimes people waste their time, you know, but you know, other than that, I mean, it's just, I just enjoy talking to people. Right. So like, I'm always trying to figure people out, figure out where they come from, what their story is. And this dude in here, like, I don't care. You don't like it. Just go. You don't like it. Just go. I mean, just close the whole story then, man. You know, if you're going to treat people like that.
So put the beat back in 5 minutes and leave for a couple of hours.
But you know, it just brought me to a bigger picture. You know, I think just the importance of, you know, customer service, like, you know, especially when you're working directly with customers and you probably got a low-paying job. I mean, sometimes that could get stressful. You know, you have to, you know, you get minimum wage, yet you got to be as nice as possible because you're the direct connect between the consumer and the products in the store, and they got to go through you, and you like, man, I'm getting $12 for this.
But look at how many words he used. Like, in that, there ain't even no out, because he could have just used less words and just been like, yep, thank you. Price, thanks. Yeah. Have a good day. Like, the effort that goes into being.
Yeah, he was extra.
Yeah, there's a lot of extra effort to go into that. For just, no extra.
Just disappointing, man. I mean, because it's situations like that. And this is a guy that, you know, there is no probably educating him, I'm guessing. I mean, him looking like he probably in his mid-60s or something. Like, this is probably what.
So you do this all the time.
Yeah, yeah. He like, all my life I had to fight. But.
Hey.
Well, you know, so I mean, I guess, you know, it depends on where you come from and how you see the world, but I mean, that just makes it tough on everybody that's alive and that, you know, that soaks up any little piece of your energy, you know. I just think it's cool that, just a reminder to me to be more conscious about the people I'm dealing with and try to make sure that I'm pleasant and that I'm communicating and I'm patient and I'm understanding, even when things get a little bit a little frustrating or even repetitive, right, you know. Right, I mean, I'm just not going to take I just can't take a job I don't like. And that also made me feel blessed that I enjoy what I do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. I think that's kind of the key point I'm trying to make. Eventually, you know, no matter what you're doing out there or where you work at, you know, every job is not going, you know, be ideal. Again, you know, as, you know, humans with financial responsibility, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes we do have to take on jobs that we're not majorly excited about. But, you know, we must understand that the customer don't really got nothing to do with that. Right. They don't really know our story. All they know is that they paid money for a product or a service and they would like to have that, you know, possibly with the best energy that you can offer.
Right.
You know, and so just try to keep that in mind and, you know, and try to get yourself to a point to where you're getting into a career that actually makes you feel good and makes you want to interact more or, you know, be around people or, you know, be able to deal with some of the confusion that people offer, not being as knowledgeable as you are in whatever sector that you represent, you know, in the work world or business world, you know, unless you know. Or there are certain careers that they have out there where you don't have to talk to anybody.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, there's definitely, you know, options. If that's not your, you know, strong suit, there's definitely options that you have that you don't have to interface with people outside of maybe a small team, you know? So there's routes out there. But again, like you said, it's bringing your energy to it. And of course, I think we've all been in an establishment, probably working at a place we wasn't really too fond of, right? Yeah. But still having to make it work for you. That's the bigger thing, is making it work for you in a way in which you can. That can be trying at many a times, but being able to capture that and just remember that it's adding, you know, pressure to you.
Yeah.
That's one of those things, and you have to capture that and know that, you know. This makes me think of something. We can go a little left, but it still ties in with Patrice O'Neill, and I remember him talking about going to work and how he hates people who start out on a 10, starts their day out at 10, because he was like, only thing you can do is go down from there. So he's like, if I start work and I'm being over the top and hey, he said, when I'm regular and I'm just not in that mode, then everybody thinks it's a problem or I'm mad or I'm feeling. So he's like, nah, he said, I start low and then build up from there.
Right.
He said, so you might get I might get up to a 7 today. Tomorrow might be an 8, but I'm starting off at like 3 or 4. He's like, it's a build up. That way, if I just don't feel like talking today, you know, if I'm not mad, I'm not angry, I don't have that energy, it's not going around at, oh, what's wrong with him?
Right.
And I've taken that to heart over the years.
Right, right. It's like, you know, now that, you know, when you come down off that 10 and get back normal, it's like, oh, no, I'm just normal now. Right. So nothing wrong, I'm normal. I was actually faking with the 10.
That's frustrating, is being like, I'm not mad. What are you talking about? Like, nothing's wrong. Like, having to keep answering that piece.
And so you might as well be consistently, I think it's fair to be consistently yourself. I mean, people might feel I'm at 10, but really I'm at about 6 or 7 every day, maybe 8, you know what I mean? That's just how I am. Right. And I enjoy doing it, you know, and people enjoy, you know, receiving that type of energy, right, you know, right, like right. It feels good to create conversation, you know, with a complete stranger about something that you have in common that's exciting. And then you see how the conversation, you know, kind of expands to other things and other interests. And then it's like, oh man, we got to connect, you know, like I might've connected with the Plaid Pantry dude. I might be making some shirts or something. Don't talk to me.
And it don't even got to be being on 10. It's like, I think just being actually interested.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You'd be low energy and be interested in, you know, with somebody. And once you're interested, you know, you're gonna give off the nonverbal cues that like, oh, this is actually a moment, you know, to be in.
And I also think, you know, let's go a little bit deeper. You know, I often feel like that's directly related to a person's idea of having hope. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I feel like when you get to a point to where you really got no hope, you just don't really care about how anything feels. You don't care how people take it. You don't have nothing to look forward to. There's nothing to look forward to here, so I don't need to be nice to anybody. You know, that's where we get this toxic, I don't care how anybody feels about me or what I'm doing or what I'm saying, you know, like, to me, that seems like it's a loss of hope. I mean, you know, when you do have hope, you know, I feel like, you know, that you're a lot more privy to creative and positive conversation, and it's exciting because in the back of your mind, you know, you still going up and you still making connections. So you don't know if this could be one of them or not.
Right.
But if it is, you prepare for it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so you're doing everything you can to make sure that you accountable to, you know, mankind and humanity, should I say, you know, on a regular basis. Because, I mean, you know how much hope is out there, and you know how much good energy is out there. And if it's out there, you're going to make sure that you take advantage of some of that. You know what I mean? And when people don't really have that ideal of that any hope exists in the world, or as far as, you know, human connection, they don't really care how they make anybody feel. They don't really care how they feel. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's just, it gets down to that point to where we really got to stay hopeful, and we still got to believe that it's a rough world, man. It's a really complicated world, and every day we see how much work we got to do, you know, as light workers trying to shine some of the good areas that the world has to offer, you know, because it gets dim, you know, given the fact of given the natural vibe, I think, of human nature and what we were taught. And so trying to shine that light is going to be a little bit of work. But, you know, if we, you know, keep hope, you know, spread hope, share hope, and try to encourage hope, you know, I think people will actually continue to look for the light, at least. You know what I mean? Even if you don't see it at the moment, you know that it exists.
Right.
And that it's a possibility. And if you keep looking, you know, you'll eventually it's gonna shine on you.
Righteous.
You know, and I think that's something to stay excited about, man. You know, like, that keeps me excited. Just the hope of being something special one day, or, you know, having an impact on the world, or, you know, being able to accomplish some of my dreams and goals, and all that's still in the back of my mind. I don't think I've lost yet. You know what I mean? And so what that means, I'm still excited about being alive, you know?
Right.
And even if I never reach any of those, I live my life being excited about my hope and about my dreams. You know what I'm saying? And so I actually lived happy, you know, as opposed to being frustrated and angry because I didn't see anything bigger than what was in front of me.
Right.
You know, the faith, the spirituality, the love, you know, the things that keep us going and keep us treating people the way that they need to be treated and deserve to be treated.
Constant reminder.
You know,
constant reminder.
That's my spiel.
Hey. You know, something in there you touched on, it kind of was something that was running through my head that had to do with, like, just human nature and the way, and we talk often about, like, the way that we're raised with things. And one of the things that was popping up here recently, I think you said something about it too on one of your socials about, like, being direct, kind of saying what you want and so on. And I've seen that come up quite a few times, right? And other people that I've kind of peeped some of these things. And, you know, I was thinking about that and was thinking about how, for one, how many times that I say, like, I need a second, right, to process some things to make sure I'm saying the words are put together. My thoughts are going, but sometimes it's putting the words to it that I need a moment for, right? Mm-hmm. And understanding that directness, we're not taught that, right? So go back to being a kid. We talk about kids say the darnest things, right?
Right, right.
Think about how many times as a child, for yourself and then also seeing other kids, where they say something to somebody and their parents, you don't say that. Mm-hmm. That's mean. That's not nice.
Right.
They're saying exactly what they see, right, exactly how they feel, but you're told that. Mm-hmm. Then you're told that from these people, you know, in authority, in your life coming up. So what you start doing is finding soft ways to say something,
right,
indirect ways of saying
right,
things.
Right.
You do have people who are there, right? They're right, just through life, they're there. And realizing, you know, as adults, how often we don't. Everybody says, like, you know, to be there, and we all want that. And it's like, you know, we don't want to necessarily have to read between the lines. We don't want to this and that. Like, everybody, especially when you're dealing in, like, you know, friendships and relationships and so on, like, you feel like people want to be dialed. You want people to be dialed in to kind of knowing you,
mm-hmm,
and so on, right? And just to know,
right,
just to kind of know. And realizing, like, we're not taught that.
Right.
We're not taught that.
That's true.
And, you know, I saw something that was like, you know, like, what do you want? Like, what exactly do you want? And thinking of that question, thinking about how many relationships and couples that probably has came up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, what do you want me to do? What can I? And the idea that, like, you may not know in that moment,
right?
Because you may have an idea, but you're programmed to kind of softly hand off stuff,
mm-hmm, yep,
softly, yep, give information, right?
Yep.
And we're also taught to softly take information,
right,
because most of the people that are very direct and right there,
mm-hmm,
they rub a lot of people the wrong way.
Yes.
So
yes.
Why is that offensive? And we say we want that, but then it's offensive or can be offensive at the
right,
same time. So it's this toss up, and I think that's something to kind of, you know, think a bit deeper about, of how that training happens. How we're that's what we're fed to do. That's how we're fed to communicate growing up, for the most part,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when we get older and we're having these conversations, and this can be with an employer, you know, trying to get a raise or, you know, whatever,
mm-hmm,
it may be,
mm-hmm,
having a business deal and just making sure to list your non-negotiables and stuff,
mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm,
at the same time trying to think like, well, maybe that will offend them, maybe that will, as opposed to just given what you need. And it's typically those people that do rise, right, in,
mm-hmm,
these certain arenas. But I think there's something to that. Like, I'm definitely a person, and I've thought about this, you know, especially more recently, where I know about myself, a lot of times my brain is moving way faster,
mm-hmm,
than my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I notice that I'm great at writing.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
mm-hmm,
because it's a process of going through where it's me having to slow down to as fast as my pen can move, and the way that I'm able to construct the thoughts once I'm actually writing these things out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, me and you might be able to sit, you know, go back and forth because there's an understanding that me and you have, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain way language, right?
Right,
that
right,
idea
right,
of the flow of the language. So there's a lot of things that don't even have to be said that are understood.
Right.
But then having certain conversations, you know, with certain individuals, it's like needing to make sure, and especially in situations where, you know, a lot is on the line, or it might be a heightened emotional moment where there's value in, you know, stepping back and thinking, what is it you're exactly trying to say?
Right.
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 And not in the moment of heightened, because I feel like that's when things come out like darts. And most
right,
of the times, if you got to heighten the way you're receiving things,
right, right,
are also going to feel like that no matter how it's, you know, broken down, especially being direct,
right,
because it feels like in that moment, typically it's an attack or
right,
whatever that may be.
Judgment,
but understand,
yeah,
right, judgment. There mm-hmm, you go. And having to, you know, kind of take a step back. And I just think about the times of, like, I don't know, like being able to say, like, I don't know how to answer it, but I'll come back to that.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting that to be an okay thing.
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that's
like,
cool.
Yeah, to be able to back up. And, you know, and I think about that sometimes too, like with, you know, of course, raising this kid, in moments of where, you know, I'm having a moment of having to for me and her going into something that, you know, maybe a form of reprimand about something, and me asking for an answer and realizing that a lot of times something that I do and have been doing, it's telling her, like, think about it. Because if you don't have nothing right now, think about that for a second, and then let me know when you come up with whatever you need to to answer that question. And given that, I also know for myself too, it's like needing to back sometimes to make sure that I'm putting this together and saying what I'm actually trying to say, not the quick version that doesn't hit on all the points, right? And so I made, this is where I want to get to, is this center, right? This is the actual piece, but there's these other elements around it that need to come with that to have this full scope of understanding. Because without that, I'm basically just giving you the answer without showing the work. Those little elements are the work that I put in to get to this, to show why this makes sense, right? And so wanting, I guess just wanting to make sure that we take the time to think about that,
right?
And we're dealing with people, because we say that it's easiest and clearest, right? Point A to B is just they're direct and be direct, but understanding too that there's a lot of us in this world that don't, that's not ever worked, right? That's only been received a certain way. So it's like, if I'm being direct and I've been direct with five people and they've all reacted like, what? Like, flipping, that's gonna throw me. So the sixth person is like, okay, now I gotta try to, and that may work great for you, which is sucks, because you might be the sixth person that could have took that same thing I said to those first five and been like, okay, I get you, I get what you're saying, and so on. But how many of us are gonna keep doing that after so many unsuccessful tries and altering that? And then along with tying that into growing up and being like, okay, we have to be nice, you know, don't be mean, don't be this, don't be that. There's a lot of things that are taught in that way, and a lot of times we're taught don't be mean without being given an alternative for how to communicate this still directly, maybe, you know, a little softer that it may need to be, you know, and be like, ah, you're XYZ, but understanding that that is a part of it. And if you're telling somebody, on top of that, if you're telling somebody to be direct, be straight up, be prepared to receive direct straight upness, because I think that's another piece in there that is like, you want that, but then when it once it's given, then it's taken like a slight. It's taken in a way that, and it's that's what you ask for. You know. And then don't, I guess also with that, don't ask for something that you're not willing to give also. So it's this thing that, okay, be direct with me, but then if you're being, you know, the hit mixed signal, hidden, you can't, it's got to be a two-way street in there.
So you think, was Jody direct enough on Baby Boy? Was that that kind of direct?
Just straight up.
I just do, Yvette. I don't know why. I just do. She's like, okay. That's, you know, but, man, that's such an important topic, man, directness. It's just, man, it's just so tricky, though. Like, it's just so tricky, man. But then again, you can't really, you know, it's really difficult to, you know, realistically move forward without it. You know, like, we need information to move forward. Like, you know, humans aren't, we all, you know, we got a lot of similarities, but we got a whole lot of differences.
And that's, I think, where you got to, that's where having to go that layer in to figure out how do people receive things best.
It's definitely got to be a strategy. You know, people always say be nice, but I thought being, you know, I think being honest is nice. I think it don't get no nicer, you know, honestly. But, you know, again, I mean, I'm the king of being direct. Anybody that's been around me, no, I don't have no problem with it. I've completely grown out of the uncomfortable stage of where I don't like being direct. I love it, man. It is my friend, you know, and so because of that, I don't have a whole lot of friends. You know, I mean, I got a few people that understand where I'm coming from, and everybody else is like, oh, he on some other stuff, you know. But I mean, you know, because when it comes down to it, it's like, I mean, you know, as far as the sixth person goes, I mean, I could start to sugarcoat it a little bit, but, you know, sugar, it ain't, in the end, it ain't always sweet when it turns out to be, you know, fake sugar. You know what I mean? Imitation sugar. And so it's like, you have to still, like, you have to, you know,
in the end, after that, it becomes more about you and your authenticity with yourself, mm-hmm. and who can handle that around you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's the way I take it. I don't want to have to be around anybody where I can't be direct. Mm-hmm. And that's why I eliminated myself from a lot of people mm-hmm. and places and friends, because I'm not comfortable being indirect. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. I'm withholding information from you, valuable information that right. you could actually use to make a very, very educated decision with.
Right, right.
You know, and I don't, that's the only way I like to do it. You know, now with that being said, it's got to be a formula and a strategy involved in that, because you can't be direct with Godzilla and King Kong energy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And that's
you feel me? Right. And so, and I got, right. that's something that I got to be conscious of. And so, and that's why, again, you know, this show is called Calculated Conversation, because you got to calculate all aspects of what you're saying or what you're doing and how it's being delivered.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if the UPS delivered my package and all the corners is all beat up and squared, I'm going to think, man,
Soccer kicked it.
It's going to be like, man, I don't care if what I ordered is in there perfectly. I'm mad that it came all wrinkled up.
Right, right.
It broke down. Did you play basketball with my box right. in the back? You know, and so that's also something that, you know, we have to be accountable for, and that's difficult, you know. And so that's the reason why, like you said, I think it's very important to take a break and strategize and calculate.
Right.
You know, and a lot of, and for instance, you know, just something that I like to do is, like, being direct, I still don't like to point fingers. You know what I mean? I like to just get the information out clearly without pointing fingers. That's the strategy.
And that's where you're hitting, you're yeah. expanding what I was saying.
Yeah.
And less of the sugarcoating, but more of understanding how to break this down directly and mm-hmm. not just in the heat of that moment yeah. saying something that just comes in this bulk package. It's right. like, what, how to, no instructions to how to even piece this together.
Right, right. And so my strategy for that is, when I'm deciding to talk about how I feel, is more or less, this is the way that the situation affected me.
Right.
This has no bearing on your actual intentions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so let's make that clear. Right. I don't think you were trying to hurt me. I don't think you were trying to, you know, kick me, do whatever you did to, you know, inconvenience me. I don't think that was intentional. If I'm being honest about right. that right. is. If this person cares about me,
right.
it shouldn't have been intentional.
Right.
You know? And so I have to really, really make sure I make that clear, you know? So this is how I felt. I'm not really saying that this is your intentions or you tried to hurt me, but this is the result that I had, you know? And so let's look at how the intentions you had didn't equal up to the results you intended.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where we can find our problem solving and our resolution at. Right. And we can build off that.
Right, right.
You know, and so it's gotta start with the good nature of everybody involved. If anybody's not good natured, then, I mean, it's hard to come to a nice, complete resolution. But if you got two people that care about each other, like a husband and a wife that are in love,
right.
realistically in love, genuinely, and they, most of their disagreements should be unintentional. Right. I mean, most of their fights or you know, whatever, should be unintentional. I don't say scuffle. We don't condone violence, but, you know, fiasco. But, you know, it should be unintentional. And I think you can solve a problem based off that. But yeah. you do have to, you know, and it takes two people, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because no matter what you say, sometimes people take it as, you are attacking me. You know, you are telling me that I tried to hurt you. And I'm defending on the fact that I tried to hurt you. I'm not defending the fact that you were actually hurt. It's about mine. Okay, well, let's get off your intentions right. and let's talk about the results. And then let's go to the intentions.
Right, right.
I'm with that. Let's solve a problem. Right, I'm cool with
right,
that.
Right.
That shows how strong we are.
Hey.
You know, but it definitely takes, you know, very, very conscious people.
And
people,
I think, too, you know, in addition to that, what is also needed is the platform to go into this knowing, both parties knowing they're coming in to have a conversation about topic X, Y, or Z.
Right.
Right? Because it's typically people get blindsided with how one person's been feeling. It's out of mm-hmm. nowhere, like, oh, this, what, we're, I didn't even, what? And so it's catching somebody off guard, and typically that's how the exchanges happen
yes.
in a weird way. Right. And, you know, in that, I think we all have to take a moment where if somebody is saying, like, can we talk about this later, you know, as long as it does get addressed, but understanding that that's not necessarily saying it don't matter.
Right.
It's not a thing, as opposed to maybe they need to gather their thought to make sure to be able to have a conversation that they're able to hit this on these points, as opposed to that blind side. Like, I see that happen. I've seen that happen over the years, had it happen. It's just being like, whoa.
Yeah,
this is, you know what I mean? But to be able to have that patience, I think if you are connected with somebody and it is something that's pressing, right, you have to be able to make sure to, if it's important enough to be addressing, to make sure to do it the right way. If your intention is to figure this out,
right,
not just to let you know I'm mad, let you know I'm here,
right,
and the intention is to figure this out and move forward from that, then you've got to kind of take that in, that, okay, let's set this aside. I think there's a lot of value in that, and understanding that your pressing thing right now isn't always everybody else's pressing thing.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And being able to set that aside, because also what it does is let you have time to pull it to here, gather your thoughts, and be able to communicate in a more effective way.
And to add on to that point, which I definitely appreciate, is the idea of, you know, letting go of having to be right. You know, and I think a lot of times, you know, especially people that care about each other, you know, forget about strangers for a second, but people that care about, they could be siblings, you know, whatever, parents, you know, relationship, husband, wife, whatever. You know, a lot of times, you know, when somebody is being direct with us, we immediately pick up, you know, the defense of, well, I need to make myself right in this situation somehow. And so you start just kind of blurting out things, irrelevant things, things that ain't got nothing to do with nothing, in order to be right. And then you sometimes you try to draw a parallel between something they did a long time ago, you know, and, and what's going on now. And what that does is it further alludes to the idea, you know, that you can't be accountable. And so, unfortunately, you can't really trust people that can't be accountable, because they don't really know when they're making a mistake, and they don't know when it's time to repair one.
Right.
You know, and so that, and so we got to be careful of that and understand. And back to the being right thing is like, nobody wins. It doesn't matter who's right. You know what I mean? Like, we both lose. If any one of us is, you know, if we both end up wrong, we both lose. If one of us right and one ends up being wrong, we lose. What's right is figuring out what actually happened, how it happened, and then making sure as a team, family, husband, wife, whatever it is, that it doesn't happen again.
Right.
That's what's right.
Right.
What's right is us understanding, not who made the mistake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so we got to get out of that mindset too, because we end up competing with each other.
That's the sticking, you know, to the situation.
And so and you know, if somebody, and like I said, on the flip side, if somebody's coming to you saying, hey, you know, like, and they're not attacking you, and they got a simple approach that's clear, direct, but non finger pointing, hey, you know, like, this happened, you know, it made me feel this way. I'm not saying you tried to hurt me, but, you know, it did put me in a tough position, and I want to make sure that we have an exchange about this.
Right.
I think that's beautiful.
Right.
Yes, bring that to me. I would love for my wife to bring that to me. Let's solve it. You know what I mean? Let's get it down. Let's figure it out. Let's talk. We a family. We a team. Let's huddle up, and then when we get back out the huddle, I'm going to throw you the ball again, and you're going to score.
And that's the piece, because, look, that approach, you know, right there, how easy is it to be like, okay, cool, so we got that. That's on the agenda for tonight, so we're gonna get to there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then on the flip side is, you know, on the receiving end, it's like, okay, you know, let me hear you out.
Right.
Okay, yeah, that did, you know, that did take place, and I thought it was going to have this effect on you. I didn't realize that effect was going to take place.
Right.
However, I care about you,
right,
and I don't want to be the one to make you feel that way. So from this point on, I'm going to be a little bit more conscious of these actions surrounding this scenario or these similar circumstances. Right. Now we're growing as a team.
Right.
You know, that's all it really takes, man. Right. But it really takes, but most people don't have that.
Right.
You know, it really takes two people on both sides to really understand what's the big, you know, what's the big goal here?
Right.
What's the most important thing? You know, you don't always have to agree on what plays you're going to run, you know, all the time, but you should at least agree on where the goal is.
Right.
You know, I might use your play, we might use one of mine, or we might just build a play together and see how it happens.
Yeah.
But either way, we both know we got to go that way. So whatever happens, we got to be in sync. Because once you on the opposite side of the ball, ain't nobody going to score.
Right.
You know?
That's clutch. And like, you know, one of the things you said that was like, you know, throwing in there, you know, this piece that this may have been my intent. This is what was done. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's not an excuse.
Right.
That's more information.
Yep.
And I, you know, I found that in, you know, in life and you know, having back and forth with people, significant others, of that piece. It's like, I'm giving the information to help you understand why I came to this
right.
conclusion. Now, that doesn't necessarily change the, you know, the end result, but just for further, so you have a more robust idea of where it's coming from. Because I think there's a piece that, going a little bit deeper into it also, is if you're being direct and you just say like, yeah, I did that.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, now it's like, well, why?
Right.
As opposed to like, how many times have you laid out all the why as part of your thing? It's like, I don't care about none of that. So which, you know, which one is it? Mm-hmm. And so it's a part of understanding that, like you said, in the end, it's we're this is a team.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Us having a beef is not getting the team nowhere.
Right.
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 At all. So being able to step up and understand that in the end, we are definitely trying to progress down this field and get to whatever that end zone, that goal is. That's the point.
Right.
And being able to swallow that, the right or wrong, like that's something I know I made an adjustment in my words of not saying like right, wrong, but trying to put it more about, okay, this is something that definitely is not about right or wrong. This is how you feel. This is how I feel.
Right.
These are two different feelings.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? On this same topic. So having to try to work that out, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then also being able to come back through and understand that you're not going to always see eye to eye, because you're two different people that come from two different, and this is in any co-op, right? And when you bring that to the table, understand it. Okay, now I got some more information about how you operate. Mm-hmm. And now I take what I have and how can we put this together? You know, the wide receiver and the kicker got two different skill sets, but how can y'all put this together? Not even the wide receiver and the lineman, two different skill sets, mm-hmm. but together that makes a strong setup.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
so
yeah.
understanding how to pick those parts. I can't expect my lineman to be hitting a 4.40. Like, I'm not expecting that. But I know what's in his wheelhouse and understanding that, okay, this is my expectation based off of knowing his skill set,
right.
where he thrives at.
Right.
And then knowing where he may lack, that's parts that I may have to pick up.
Right.
That's parts where I may have to fill in, even if it's more working moments, or, you know, and I don't want to put work like somebody's doing more or less, but the idea that, okay, in this arena, I know where I kind of got to step up, and that'll help to eliminate some of these clashes, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So it's just, it's an interesting thing, and I think it's an ongoing thing also.
Right.
Like, I don't think there's, you know, a situation out there where, you know, it's a lot of couples that I've seen and stuff in public. And my dad, I'll use my dad as an example, him and his wife, Lucita, where I see them like having interactions and exchanges. And sometimes I'm like, Dad, what happened to you? Like, I've had moments of legitimately that of being like, you've never been like, and I asked him, and this is maybe 24, 25. I remember being like, there's stuff I've like seen and I've been like, how, like, I'm not at the point yet of like being able to just take that and just be silent and like not address that. And I remember, you know, his feedback was, you know, you get to a point, you understand that essentially you guys is here together,
mm-hmm.
and some of the things she's doing, no intention to harm anything. It's just her being her. And I understand that she got great things to say, and if she jumps in and answers the question for me, I just sit back because she's gonna answer it, and she's bringing stuff to the table too. And again, he said it took him a long time to get there, and that for me was everything, you know what I mean, kind of hearing that and understanding that process,
right?
And realizing like they don't have bigger, like she meet him at the door daily when he get home from work, like when I go to visit and be over there, she's at the door, they hug the kids, they take their nightly walks, you know, just those little things. And I rarely see or hear a disagreement. Mm-hmm. There's times where I definitely see like that blink. My dad would do that blink, like, okay,
like,
yeah, but he let her live. He let her live, you know what I mean? And so that's saying that it's not that, it's this idea that he's just exacto effing mundo.
Mm-hmm.
See, we didn't even get an FCC violation there.
That's like $20,000, $100,000.
Big monies. Yeah. But just in that case, and that's, you know, something I try to take into account that, you know, as growing and developing and getting that understanding that we're not at odds and the right, it don't matter so much as just, you know, I guess feeling like you're heard, feeling like you're somewhat understood, right? And where you're coming from. That's it. Think about how many times of, you know, and this is take this out of relationships. Think about interactions, you know, where you got young, full of testosterone males, and how many times they butt heads, and then once they actually get to having some dialogue, it's like, okay, this is where I was coming from. This is what I was thinking, right, going back and forth, and understand this is where I was coming from. This is where I was coming from, and you realize like, oh yeah, we was almost coming from the same place,
right?
We was coming from the same place, so now I understand that.
Right.
And how many times it's been a handshake and a walk away, even after a fade. I've seen fades happen, and then they come back together, and it's a shake. Like, but we got it off our chest. Yeah. We understood that we was coming from the same place, just different levels. Now we got it off the chest. Now let's continue on, and we good. right. And so, like, you know, things like that, understanding how that plays out, and the older, and I don't even want to put the older, just the more insightful
okay
that we get, and maturity plays in. So I think taking those parts into account, the more we grow and develop in those areas, we can kind of take that back seat. Mm-hmm. We can take that back seat and not have to necessarily be the driver, the one at the wheel.
Right.
And understand that, okay, cool, sometimes I can sit and help kind of steer from over here, let them take over, have that moment. Yeah. If that's what we're headed to, the same destination, so you know that person is not trying to hit a U-turn and go the opposite,
right,
then they can take the wheel and you can hop over here and have a nice great conversation from the passenger side.
Yeah, man. Real quick, the phone number here is 503-231-8187.
Whoa.
Yeah, I said like five words at the okay, five numbers, 40? But 8187. We got a lot of listeners out there, so I know some of you guys got to be kind of resonating with this one, because this is something we all go through. You know,
right,
this is not like, you know, exclusive to anybody. You know, this is really a universal human, you know, experience that we talking about. Everybody goes through this.
Right.
So, you know, we definitely would love to hear your story. We only got about, you know, a few minutes left, though, about 5-6 minutes left. But what I was going to add on to what you were saying was, I think one big point I left out is that you also have to be able to trust somebody to correct you.
Trust.
You know, and I kind of feel like a lot of times, you know, we engage with people or we create these unions, and, you know, when it's time for them to be direct, we don't really trust their intentions. We feel like they either trying to, you know, mislead us, control us, or whatever. But, you know, the thing is, I mean, relationships often is just about different strengths, you know, like, you know, a lot of times men and women have completely different strengths, and sometimes you got to decide who's stronger where, and as a unit, you know, who's going to get you, you know, whose philosophy is going to get you through that hoop as far as a unit together, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, in my situations, I prefer to be, you know, the person who is, you know, more kind of dapper in communication skills, you know, in energy, and just kind of understanding the process of problem solving.
Right.
And oftentimes, you know, I've met, you know, girls or dated girls who didn't want to give me that, you know, that leeway, which I feel like I'm better than that. Like, you know, if I let her do it, you know, it may not come out to anything. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes that's not a lot of people's strong point. Yeah. Communication is a very difficult thing to do, man, because you got to really get beside yourself.
Yeah.
And that's something that the average human being just can't do for the life of them. Get beside they self, look at the picture from, you know, a completely, you know, opposite standpoint. You know what I'm saying? Like, third body.
Right.
You know
what
I mean? Like, you looking at you two and you on the outside. Right, you the third party.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's impartial. You know, you got to be completely impartial, man, and it's difficult, you know? And so so you got to trust somebody to be able to lead you through those interactions and help you understand some of the jewels behind effective communication and effective problem solving. Because they're serious jewels. If you don't know them, your situation will not last, because problems happen because we all are different. And so there's going to be confusion. Who's going to create the process or the family philosophy to get through that? You know what I mean?
And it's so worth, you know, exploring, like we talk about, you know, the differences in genders. Mm-hmm. Think about cultural differences when, you know, you're dating outside of your race and these differences that what means this to me and you may not mean this when I'm talking to this person across the room or, you know, whoever this person and the way they came up. Those parts play in. Right. You know what I mean? And if it's important to you, then you're paying attention to how things work mm-hmm. outside of yourself,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And even though it may be foreign, and not saying you have to agree. That's one of the things you don't necessarily have to agree and say, oh, I'm just taking all. No, but you have to find that balance.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that, you know, it's worth putting up. And when you go back into not finger pointing, but just expressing how this works for you
mm-hmm.
and what this does or how this makes you, that opens somebody up to be able to understand your interpretation.
Right.
How you interpret the world, how you're taking in these interactions, and to not necessarily shoot that down, even if it's not your. And again, what me saying that, it's not just like, oh, I need to do everything that works all the time. No, you got to have your compromise, because if you're putting that type of energy, they should be putting that type of energy back into you to understand why for you that didn't mean the same thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But again, now that I'm aware of that with you, now I know I need to change and alter how it is that I'm approaching those type of situations.
Right.
But when you rock with somebody, you're genuinely curious mm-hmm. as to who they are and why they're them.
Right. Right.
And you'll go into those deeper levels of trying to understand what that actually means.
Right. And then, like you said, we'll realize that there actually wasn't even an issue. There was just a certain difference in sometimes cultural interpretation. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if you go deeper to find that out, you're like, oh, we're saying the same thing. Okay, well, as a family, this is how we're going to say it from now on.
Hey.
You know what I mean? Like, it's really that simple. But then, you know, but you got some people that say, well, this is how I say it. And then, well, she said, well, this is how I say it. So, you know, your way is wrong, my way. And then you get into, now we're not a team no more. So we just going to sit the middle field until nobody scores. No, I'm kidding.
We at the end of that thing.
So we appreciate you guys listening. Calculated Conversation Show. We just here to have those conversations, you know. We just want to go deep and get it all figured out and see where we, you know, where we messing up at, what we missing or what we can add or anything that'll make us tighter as a community, as a unit, you know, as a people. So tap in with us. Facebook, Calculated Conversation Radio.
Bam.
Twitter at Calculated Talk.
Bam.
IG at Calculated Conversation.
Bam bam.
Gmail, calculatedconversation@gmail.com. www.calculatedconversation.com and iTunes and Google Play Music.
Calculated everything.
Look for us.
With my full capabilities, and now I'm living in correctional facilities. Cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it get funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what, I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through. So don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English. Even if Yella makes it a cappella, I still express you. I don't smoke weed or sex, cause it's known to give a brother brain damage. And brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker in you equal. Don't be another sequel. Spread yourself. For the pop chart, so where should a brother like you start expressing yourself, my boy, and show you how your track,
what up,
drop English right about now. Getting back to the PG, that's program, and it's easy. Dre is back, new jacks are made hollow, expressing ain't the subject because they like to follow the words, the style, the trend, the records I spin again and again and again. Yo, you're on the other end, watch a brother blend dope rhymes with no help. There's no fessing or guessing while I'm expressing myself. It's crazy to see people be what society wants them to be, but not me. Ruthless is the way to go, they know. Other
either save rhymes which fail to be original, or they kill where the hip-hop starts. Forget about the ghetto and rap for the pop charts. Though some musicians cuss at home, they're scared to use profanity when up on the microphone. Yeah, they want reality, but you hear none. They'd rather exaggerate a little fiction. Some say no to drugs and take a stand, but after the show, they go looking for the dope man. Or they ban my group from the radio here in WA and say hell no. But you know it ain't all about wealth, as long as you make a note to spread the scale.
This is KBOO Portland.
Got the club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she choose a club going up. Got your girl in the car, she chooses.